You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com, and I'm joined by Alden Gonzalez, MLB.com. Okay, Alden, I don't know how to start. What's the latest on Josh Hamilton? What's the tone from Mike Socia, Jerry Hipoto, and the players?
Well, I'll start with the tone, Richard, and I think the overwhelming tone from the clubhouse and, you know, from Socia and Hipoto is that has nothing to do with how an extended Josh Hamilton absence impacts the roster or what it does to the lineup or how they got to address their needs or anything like that. I think there's just all-out concern for Josh's well-being as a person, as a human being off the field. You know, Josh is married. He has four daughters. He's a family man. And I think that's first and foremost. You know, a lot of the players in that clubhouse had no idea about any of this. They're reading the reports just like a lot of us are. And, you know, there's only so much that the Angels can say right now as well. So, you know, a lot of the players just, you know, told us that they shot Josh Hamilton, you know, some supportive text messages yesterday when they found out today. But in terms of what's actually going on, the Angels can't really comment on anything. Hipoto spoke to us today, didn't want to comment on anything outside of Josh Hamilton and rehab from surgery. Mike Socia as well. You know, there's a lot of layers in this, Richard. There's, you know, who knows if, you know, the commissioner has to chime in on this. Who knows if the Major League Baseball Players Association needs to be involved. The only thing we know right now is that Josh Hamilton met with Major League Baseball officials on Wednesday to discuss a disciplinary issue. And we have no idea when we're going to hear back. I imagine that something will come down the pike maybe early next week. I don't know if that's going to be a suspension. I don't know exactly what it's going to be. I don't think the Angels have any idea either. But, you know, right now I think first and foremost your thoughts are just with Josh Hamilton and whatever it is that he might be going through right now.
Alden, why didn't Josh have a locker in spring training?
Well, I think it makes sense now, Richard.
So it looks like the Angels knew this was coming.
Yes, yes. You know, John Heyman reported yesterday. John Heyman's report yesterday said that Josh Hamilton had a drug-related relapse a couple of months ago. He wrote a couple of months ago, and he confessed it to Major League Baseball, and that was the reason for the meeting. The Angels are not confirming that. They can't talk about that. But if that's the case, if he had a relapse and he was going to meet with Major League Baseball about it eventually, it made all the sense in the world for Josh Hamilton to not have a locker in spring training and to not show up and to not create this huge distraction around the team. I don't know what his situation is right now. I don't know what he's dealing with mentally. But Jerry Hipoto said that he is actually actively rehabbing an injury right now. So, but, you know, there was no point in assigning him a locker. You know, it always seemed weird, Richard. And, you know, we had talked about it. We had written about it. Because players who rehab from injuries, they do it with the team. You know, they don't really do it away from the spring training complex. I don't want to say it's unprecedented, but it's pretty rare. And, you know, it's not like Josh Hamilton is one of those cancer in the clubhouse guys. Players in that clubhouse genuinely love Josh Hamilton. But if this is the case, if he really did have a relapse, and if something is going down, and who knows, if he's still struggling with this, it made all the sense in the world for him to be in Houston. He has a friend over there who has a ranch that he's staying with, is my understanding. It made all the sense in the world for him to just be away from the team.
You know, Josh is an old 33 years old, and while we both like him, he's also dealing with not just a shoulder surgery, but an arthritic shoulder. So, you know what I worry about with addicts, and I get this from Ken Caminiti, who I knew, was like, the season was okay. You could get through the season because there was structure. You have to be here at noon, here at 2, here at 4. But the off season was the devil. And I wonder, and you know Josh, and I know Josh, going forward, Josh faces a very, very tough road, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. If you're just looking at the baseball part of it, it's a really tough road. And it's not just the shoulder. He had he's had a litany of injuries throughout his entire career. And, you know, part of the surgery was shaving the bone down to kind of ease some of the tension of that shoulder. But you know this, Richard. I mean, it never really gets better, you know. And,
right.
if you're a left-handed power hitter and, you know, you're dealing with consistent pain in your shoulder, that's a huge deal. You know, when he came back from thumb surgery, that was a huge deal. You saw how it had impacted his power. Before any of this came down, there were always questions of what kind of hitter Josh is going to be. You know, he's coming off two really sluggish seasons. He's turning 34 years old this season. You know, I mean, at least when he came back from that long absence from baseball, he was still, you know, this specimen who was still really young. Yeah, he's going to be 34 years old right now. And, you know, and it almost seems weird for me to be talking about the baseball part of it, even though it's so relevant, because who knows what's going to happen with Josh now if this whole relapse thing is true, if he's, you know, if he's dealing with other issues outside of the field. Is he going to want to play baseball anymore? Who knows? I mean, I feel like there are so many scenarios that can take place right now with Josh. And, you know, and I don't know that we're going to get the answers to them anytime soon.
Yeah, and, while you and I both acknowledge that this is a disease and this is a man fighting for his life, so here's the awkward segue. Who plays left field for the Angels?
Yeah. It's going to be Matt Joyce. And look, the Matt Joyce acquisition looks better and better every day. He's a left-handed bat who his adjusted OPS numbers were pretty much right in line with what Josh Hamilton did last year and the year before that. So, you know, and Jerry Lupoto has said it again today, and he said it throughout the offseason that, you know, regardless of Josh Hamilton's timetable, they don't really feel the need to go outside their organization, you know, via trade or to, you know, sign another outfielder or do anything like that right now. I think they really feel comfortable with the group that they have. I mean, remember, this is a team that led the majors in runs last year without much production from Josh Hamilton. And I know that Howie Kendrick's not there, and that's going to be a big deal. But I expect Matt Joyce to play left field. I expect him to bat cleanup this year, actually. You know, I expect Calhoun to lead off, Trout to bat second, Albert to bat third, and Matt Joyce to bat fourth. I think David Freese is going to be a really important player. If they could get the David Freese who showed up for the last 4 months over the course of a full season, I think they're going to be in really good shape. But I really don't feel like they're that concerned about the offense right now. I don't know if they're going to be a team that leads the majors and runs again, but I think they're still going to be a really productive group. I think they have depth, and I think the important thing with the Angels, too, is they're going into a season for the first time in a long time with some legitimate payroll flexibility. They're going to have like $10 to $15 million of wiggle room to spend. And who knows what's going to happen with Josh. If he's suspended, obviously they don't pay him during a suspension. That's the last thing on their mind right now, but that's just added payroll flexibility for them. I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be able to plug in holes. And, you know, I really feel like they like their group right now.
And Alan, does this mean C.J. Cron is the DH? Who takes that role?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that it's set in stone. I think he's still got to prove himself a little bit in spring, but I would guess so. I think C.J. Cron is the leading candidate. He's a logical choice, you know. He's the guy who was a DH going into the playoffs last year. You know, remember that. And he's always been a young guy who's just played some pretty good right-handed power, and, you know, right-handed power is getting more and more rare in this game. I think it's a really easy decision to just slot C.J. Cron in as a DH.
And if Angels fans were going to look for a surprise from anywhere to make the roster, do you have a feeling who that surprise would be? I know the roster looks so set. What do you think?
In terms of just the opening day roster, anywhere in the roster?
Yeah, yeah. I think go ahead, I'm sorry.
I think one guy in camp who's really turned some heads is Matt Lindstrom. You know, Matt Lindstrom's a guy who has a track record as a closer. And, you know, you hate using excuses of injuries with players. And I know players hate it when other players use it. But, you know, you look at last season for Matt Lindstrom, it was a really bad year with the White Sox. But you could really easily point to a left ankle injury as the reason why it was a really bad year. You know, he started off that season as a White Sox closer. He was making good money last year. He tweaks his left ankle fielding a bunt. He has surgery. He's out for like 10 weeks. And he said that he never really healed. You know, he said that he came back off the disabled list for 10 weeks. 2 weeks into it, he was feeling bone pain. It was hurting him every time he landed. He tried taping it. It didn't work. He kept searching for potholes on the mound, trying to clean up the mound because he didn't want to land on the wrong hole. And he had like a 5.5 ERA down the stretch. He's completely healthy now. He says he feels great, throwing bullpen sessions. And he's one guy that has really turned heads early. You know, every year in these early bullpen sessions is one guy that everybody keeps raving about, like, oh, how good he looks. And, you know, maybe sometimes it doesn't really mean much, but I think it does in this scenario because this year it's Matt Lindstrom, and he's got a track record for closing out games and being an established, productive reliever. And I think he's a great fit on the Angels' bullpen, too, because, you know, they've kind of built a bullpen without much velocity. You look at guys like Houston Street, Joe Smith, Michael Morin, Fernando Salas. None of those guys rely on big fastballs. Matt Lindstrom has always been a guy who relies on a big fastball. You know, I think he's a really nice fit to make the team, and he has that minor league deal where he could opt out of his contract if he's not on the opening day roster, so that's even more incentive. So I think he's going to be a really interesting name to watch here.
Yeah, he's an easy guy to root for, too. Okay, yeah. Well, busy camp so far, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Alan.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.